is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 27, The First Day. When Shang Qinghua finally became the Lord of Anding Peak, it was, of course, expected that he would change the way things were done around Anding Peak. It was also expected that he would be making some special arrangements regarding his residence and his wardrobe, too. A gift to him, from himself, in celebration of his ascension. All the new peak lords were expected to make some home renovations and order some new outfits, finally free of their masters leaning over their shoulders and offering unsolicited opinions, in order to make themselves comfortable and set the right impressions. Shang Qinghua remembers it all well enough because he was in charge of organizing and supplying most of it. He remembers that Qi Qingqi's neckline plunged impressively, and that Shen Qingqiu's wardrobe was suddenly missing any softening elements to make him look less intimidating. To be fair, their chests and necks looked fucking amazing for it. Wang Qingjia from Kuxing Peak got really picky over fabric types. Yue Qingyuan was so not picky that was somehow even more frustrating. And getting Liu Qingga to stand still for 5 fucking minutes for the run-ragged Anding Peak tailors was 100 battles in itself. And oh, then Tang Qingling from Shijiao Peak got her ceremonial outfit drenched in blood for some fucking reason, about a day before some event, like it was just too much to ask for her to get changed out of her nice clothes before wrangling a rampaging monster threatening innocent people. What kind of special hell that was. Shang Qinghua looks back on the whole disaster almost fondly now. They were all so young. Well, they were younger. Anyway, finally given free rein over his leisure house, Shang Qinghua's renovations were very conscious of the fact that an unfairly large demon lord would be dropping by without warning and occasionally stealing his furniture. These renovations are also why Shang Qinghua is 99% certain that there was no fucking secret basement before the system's world update. Shang Qinghua couldn't have Mo Bei Jun hitting his head on low ceilings or something. This had happened before, back when Shang Qinghua was a lowly outer disciple stuck in comparatively shitty housing, and the experience was terrifying. He couldn't have Mo Bei Jun's feet hanging off the edge of a bed made for one reasonably sized person, either. That would be undignified. Shang Qinghua had been pretty sure back then that he could die for not accommodating these needs. So, Shang Qinghua's current bed is fit for a king. A really specific king. By design. Right now, deep into the safety of darkness, Shang Qinghua thinks about how he never actually expected to be lying in his bed with Mo Bei Jun. No, there's a reason his sofa is comfortable enough to sleep on. That was by design, too. Sure, Shang Qinghua had lots and lots of bed-related fantasies, but he had no expectations of those fantasies ever coming true. He didn't dare to have expectations. It's kind of weird lying in bed with Mo Bei Jun. It's definitely weird lying in his bed partially on top of Mo Bei Jun. With the way things were headed, Shang Qinghua was admittedly fostering some hopes about those bed-related fantasies. But he still didn't think to mentally prepare himself for the practical details. He really wasn't mentally prepared for the softness of Mo Bei Jun's hair, for the thickness and weight of the man's arms, or for the coolness of his skin against the warmth of the blankets. Fuck, Now there was no way that Shang Qinghua was going to be able to see Mo Beijun with a plunging neckline without thinking about touching the man's bare chest. It's a nice chest. It feels great underneath Shang Qinghua's hands now. He can feel a steady heartbeat beneath his fingers. He can feel the gentle rise and fall of it with the man's slow breaths as the man's eyes have fallen comfortably closed. Shang Qinghua has never seen Mo Beijun this relaxed. "Is this what you were going to speak about last time?" Shang Qinghua wonders quietly. "Before I, ran you off with my panicked state? Us? Like this?"
"Hmm?"
Mo Beijun says drowsily. "I'm sorry if you were trying to confess things and have this talk then," Shang Qinghua elaborates. You looked really different that day, my king. Like you were on very serious business. It was just, the different look didn't help me calm down that day. I'm sorry, I..." Mo Beijun opens his eyes and frowns.
"I was not."
"What?"
"I had made plans to speak with you at some point about this,"
Mo Beijun agrees.
"But that was not why I had come to see you that day."
What? What was it then?" Mo Beijun sighs.
"I had come from a gathering of demon lords, hosted by my father at their request. They have loosely agreed to each contribute to an attack on the next conference of human cultivators," he explains, apparently annoyed at having to recollect this event. "My uncle encourages my father to force my involvement. He must have trouble planned, or see an opportunity for it."
Shang Qinghua processes this, then sits bolt upright in bed. "What?" Mo Beijun frowns up at him. "There's a demonic alliance to attack the next Immortal Alliance conference?" Shang Qinghua demands, leaning over the demon lord beside him.
"Yes."
"And you waited to tell me this?"
"There are years left before this event,"
Mo Beijun points out. Shang Qinghua stares at him. "Sure, but he feels like he should start planning now. He already knew that there was going to be a demon attack of some kind. The seal on Luo Bingha's powers has to be broken, but demon lords getting involved is bad news. Multiple demon lords, who are important enough to be socializing with Mo Beijun's father, is worse news. Demon lords potentially including Mo Beijun's shitty father and shitty uncle is the worst news of all."
"You should warn your people,"
Mo Beijun says dryly. "Yeah, no shit." Shang Qinghua feels like he should push off Mo Beijun's chest and go wake everyone up right the fuck now. He has plans to fix, work to do. This is when it really hits Shang Qinghua that Mo Beijun is telling him this not to force him to help, which would be more in line with the original proud immortal demon way, but so that Shang Qinghua can stop the worst of it. The man is telling Shang Qinghua so that he can do damage control. "You're warning me?"
"Yes."
"You're warning me to tell my sect?"
"If you wish. Only an ill-prepared incursion will not expect resistance."
"Complaints are inevitable, it's true, but... my king, really?"
"I cannot be connected to this warning,"
Mo Beijun warns next.
"If my father discovers that I have warned a human sect in advance, he may take offense. He may even be persuaded to kill me. My uncle will be sure to use this relationship against me. If some ill-prepared lords happen to meet bloody ends, however, that is their issue."
Shang Qinghua keeps staring, not knowing how to take any of this. Mo Beijun is spying for him? "My king, this is so dangerous," he says. "Of course I won't tell my sect leader where this information came from, but still, it's a dangerous position for you. Well, for me too, associating with a demon like this, but more for you than me.
You have mentioned concern for your half-demon nephew in regards to these events,
Mo Beijun says, not even bothering to lift his head off the pillow, apparently having made up his mind on this role reversal.
I have promised to take him under my protection. He will be old enough to participate in this coming one, will he not?
He will, yes, but... My king, this is really shocking. Don't act like this is no big deal. I thought that you still didn't like humans.
I do not,
Mo Beijun agrees, a cool hand sneakily landing on Shang Ching Hua's thigh again.
With rare exceptions.
Shang Ching Hua huffs with disbelieving laughter despite himself, his own hand landing on the one on his thigh. Uh-huh. Thank you, my king. I'm touched. In more ways than one, I'm touched. I'm still concerned, though. Mo Beijun sighs again and pushes up to lean on one elbow, to better look Shang Ching Hua directly in the eyes. Then moves his hand from Shang Ching Hua's thigh while lacing their fingers together.
I have given this matter great consideration, he says. Keeping your favor is worth more to me than the temporary approval of those fickle lords. You are an infinitely more valuable ally.
Wow, is it hot in here all of a sudden? Shang Ching Hua thinks, while holding hands with an ice demon. Thank you, Shang Ching Hua tries. His poor heart is about one more piece of solemn flattery from giving out on him. His poor face is about one more scorching look from bursting into flames. This really isn't fair. Mo Beijun presses his lips against their joined hands. My king, please. He can feel Mo Beijun's lips turn up against his fingers. This kind of thing is really too much.
I will not live my life as a servant to these lords, who mean little to my father and even less to me,
Mo Beijun murmurs.
I will live instead to my own satisfaction, and I have found this is impossible if you are not happy.
You really, really don't play fair, Shang Ching Hua mutters, before he curls in on himself to hide his face against the man's chest, because he can't take any more sincere eye contact. The coolness of the ice demon's skin really helps the burning feeling. My king, what am I supposed to say to something like that? If you keep talking like this, I won't be able to think about anything else ever again.
Good.
Good? I have work to do. You just gave me more work.
Not now,
Mo Beijun orders, immovably, lying back down and pulling Shang Ching Hua with him. Their hands are still joined, even as the man wraps his other arm around Shang Ching Hua's back, closing his eyes again.
Later.
Shang Ching Hua settles back down begrudgingly. If he can't win a life-or-death fight with his OP demon lord, then there's no way he's going to manage to break out of the man's arms now. He lays his head against Mo Beijun's very, very nice chest. After a while, he experimentally gives their joined hands a squeeze. Mo Beijun makes a grumbling sound and squeezes back. Shang Ching Hua supposes that the prospect of demon invasions will still be there in the morning. And the morning after that, too. And every single morning between now and the next Immortal Alliance conference, as hosted by Xiao Hua Temple Sect. Holy shit, though, he thinks. New mission. The Demonic Alliance Invasion. Mission importance. Mandatory. Penalties for failure. Mission objective. Attend the third Immortal Alliance Conference. Shang Ching Hua wakes to the sound of knocking at his front door. Its sharp raps like he's late for morning drills again. Shang Ching Hua stirs, remembers that he's not a disciple and no one can make him attend classes anymore, and then gratefully burrows deeper into his bed. He has people who do that teaching shit for him. As he's drifting off again, another series of sharp raps yanks him back towards consciousness. That's not, "Holy shit, the sect is on fire," knocking, so there's no excuse. One of those wily disciples he failed to kick off years ago can handle it. Someone else. Anyone else. The person at the door knocks a third time, and Shang Ching Hua feels the person beside him stir. He can feel a not insignificant amount of weight shifting, a low and unhappy grumble, and cool skin brushing against his own as the person makes to get up. Possibly to handle the person at the door? Shang Ching Hua here abruptly remembers many important details about his current situation that make the sect potentially being on fire seem like a not-so-bad emergency. Demon invasion, Shang Ching Hua finds himself thinking. Mo Bei Jun, fuck! No, don't get up, I'll get it! Shang Ching Hua cries, throwing off tangled blankets and flying out of bed. I'll handle it, my king. Sorry. Sorry. I'll handle it. You can just stay where you are. Shang Ching Hua, now on his feet, pushes firmly down against Mo Bei Jun's chest. He's not expecting the man, a very, very strong and very, very stubborn demon lord, to go back down under his hand without any resistance at all. This easy obedience, this willingly being pushed down, leads to a surprised Shang Ching Hua overbalancing and catching himself hard on Mo Bei Jun's chest and shoulders. As though Shang Ching Hua is actually pinning the man down. Mo Bei Jun stares up at him, eyes low-lidded, and raises his eyebrows. Wow. Shang Ching Hua is going to... Well... He's going to be thinking about this for the rest of his life, probably. The next knock on the door is both merciful and super fucking unwelcome. Fuck, he says with feeling, and pushes off again. I'll get the door. I don't want to get the door, but I'll get it just to make them shut up. Why is someone trying to break down my door today of all days? Whatever it is can't be as important as me getting to stay in bed for once. Fuck, where are my clothes? My king, do you... Oh, never mind, there it is. I'll tell them to go away, and if the sect is on fire, that's their problem. Shang Ching Hua hurries through, making himself look halfway presentable, enough to say fuck off, before he hears that sharp knock again and realizes, ah, shit, it's probably Cucumber. I told him I'd meet with him in the morning. Shit, I think I said the same thing to Yue Qingyuan too, on his way to those other engagements. If that man fucked it all up again, I'll kill him with 10,000 arrows myself. This really isn't fair. Can't Shang Ching Hua get one morning off from the day in, day out of Anding Peak and Changchong Mountain Sect? He just got the revelation of a lifetime last night. He has the man of his dreams in his bed right now. Can't his colleagues and fellow transmigrators have some damn respect for clandestine secret meetings he doesn't want them to know about? At the very least, Shang Ching Hua needs 5 to 10 hours of staring at the ceiling to process these things. My king, I'm so sorry about this. Shang Ching Hua trails off when he looks back at the bed because... Well, he'd like to find someone whose words wouldn't abruptly dry up at the sight of Mo Bei Jun lying on his side, propped up on one elbow, very underdressed. That's kind of devastating in daylight, too. Fuck.
Yes, Mo Bei Jun prompts, bringing Shang Ching Hua's eyes back to the man's face.
It's such an unfairly, but rightfully smug face. I'll tell them to go away? Shang Ching Hua tries, feeling weirdly desperate all of a sudden, ignoring the next set of rapping at the door. I'll say that my journey was way too difficult and that I need time, lots of time, for rest and relaxation, for my health,
and that I shouldn't be disturbed. Mo Bei Jun sits up in bed, tilts his head back, and finger combs his hair. Where was I? I'll say that I need to be excused from sect business for at least 2 to 3 days. I work so hard, after all, and that demon invasion won't be happening for years. You're right. I need some time off sometimes. I can't... Ah! Shang Qinghua's words dry up again as Mo Bei Jun swings his legs out of bed and stretches. The man lifts his arms and rolls his shoulders.
Wow! That's a lot of muscle moving,
Shang Qinghua thinks dumbly.
Continue,
Mo Bei Jun prompts. The man's voice is cool, but he's clearly watching Shang Qinghua's face.
Oh no, you are doing this on purpose,
Shang Qinghua realizes. Mo Bei Jun just raises his eyebrows again. This man is too OP and he knows it. When the man lifts an arm to scratch the back of his neck, then lifts his chin to scratch the underside of his jaw, the only thing Shang Qinghua can say is,
Please, have mercy, my king. And he's only kind of joking. He needs to think about other things.
Mo Bei Jun drops a hand and huffs with laughter. Laughter. The man's lips are actually slightly turned up at the edges, and he looks so much younger for it. Unfair. The rapping at the door comes again, which distracts Shang Qinghua for a second, which is all the time Mo Bei Jun needs to stand up and kiss him. The man's lips are still cool. It's still kind of a weird feeling, but Shang Qinghua could get used to it. He can totally put in the work and get used to the feeling. It's a nice feeling. Mo Bei Jun pulls away, resting his forehead against Shang Qinghua's.
I will go, he says, but I will return tonight.
Okay.
Mo Bei Jun then pulls away entirely to look for his clothes.
I should probably take care of sect stuff so that they're not bothering me at all hours.
Shang Qinghua agrees, reluctantly.
Make sure that my Shixiangs haven't given each other qi deviations and made that bastard Wei Qingwei the new sect leader. I should probably show cute Shen Yuan that basement when we talk anyway.
Do not enter that looking glass again,
Mo Bei Jun says.
What? Oh, yes, no. No, definitely not, my king.
Shang Qinghua isn't going back through that cracked mirror no matter what his system or his fellow transmigrator's system says. He's not risking seeing his blackened protagonist again. Even if it's just some interactive vision, the risk that it's not is overwhelming.
Shang Qinghua.
Shang Qinghua startles. Yes? Mo Bei Jun moves to stand directly in front of him again, shrugging on his outer robe, before reaching out to touch Shang Qinghua's chin.
Many have gone mad attempting to divine the one true future. Do not enter that looking glass again. You will only upset yourself once more when there is no reason to be afraid.
Yes, my king.
The demon lord's certainty is almost comforting, and Shang Qinghua can't contradict him out loud. Mo Bei Jun doesn't know about the plot bearing down on them all. Mo Bei Jun probably still thinks that Shang Qinghua's breakdown last time was caused by that creepy mirror, rather than the system's forced world update. It's what Shang Qinghua would think in the demon lord's position. Mo Bei Jun's hand moves from Shang Qinghua's chin to his neck.
You smell like me, he says with a frown. You will have to do something to disguise this if you intend on staying with your human sect. You should use whatever you used to disguise your nephew's scent.
You could smell through that?
No, but it made it clear you had something to hide.
Mo Bei Jun answers.
Oh, thank you for the warning, my king.
Shang Qinghua doesn't move. Neither does Mo Bei Jun. Shang Qinghua doesn't want to do anything to dislodge Mo Bei Jun's steadying hand,
resting between his neck and his shoulder. And Mo Beijun apparently doesn't want to remove it.
My father's hedonism begins to wear on his health,
Mo Beijun says abruptly. Zhang Qinghua doesn't know what to say to that. Good riddance? I'm sorry, he says.
I have been taking on more and more work on his behalf for years already.
Especially the ones which require travel, Zhang Qinghua agrees, having offered advice and resources for many of these tasks and duties over the years. How this man became the protagonist's right-hand man is clear. It's getting worse?
It is not obvious to outsiders yet, but yes,
Mo Beijun confesses.
My father is powerful, and therefore overconfident, and sees no reason to restrict himself.
The man adds angrily, before he orders,
Do not share this information with your sect or any other being. We cannot afford to have this growing weakness known.
Of course, my lips are sealed. Mo Beijun's scowl softens and his thumb traces the edge of Zhang Qinghua's jaw.
One day I will be king, he says like a promise. When that day comes, there will be no more need for secrets, no more need for hiding, no more need for lies.
Zhang Qinghua lifts a hand to rest against Mo Beijun's. That sounds nice, my king, he agrees softly. Mo Beijun presses their foreheads together one last time before he pulls away and opens a portal with his other hand. The cold that floods the room, on top of the demonic energy, is an even more unpleasant wake-up than the knocking. Mo Beijun's hand, stretched out behind him, finally slips from Zhang Qinghua's fingers when the portal has already started to close. Zhang Qinghua takes the time to fix up his appearance a little more, to get rid of the I slept with a demon smell. Because if the asshole at his door has kept it up this long, they can wait a little longer. It turns out that he didn't really need to bother, because it's his fellow transmigrator and most dogged critic, Peerless Cucumber. Bro, Zhang Qinghua says seriously, do you have a death wish? Peerless Cucumber, Xun Yuan, Zhang Qinghua has to remember to call the kid by his real name, lowers his hand with a scowl. One of your disciples told me to knock on your door and keep knocking until you answered, the other transmigrator says defensively. After I said you said to meet you in the morning. Which one?
Wen Shufen, I think.
Just for that prank, Sticky Fingers is going to be hauling fertilizer for Longsheng Peak for a month, Zhang Qinghua says tiredly. Bro, do not believe half the things your martial siblings here tell you. They're pretty much all liars, cheats, and thieves.
Then why keep them around?
Well, sometimes you need to lie, cheat, or steal.
It's nearly not morning anymore, you know.
I guess you get a pass this time, since I did tell you we'd have a nice long talk about things tomorrow. Come on in. It's weird willingly having anyone in his leisure house, given Zhang Qinghua's past and current situation with a demon lord. He's been pretty vicious about protecting his privacy over the years. Xun Yuan looks kind of awkward about it, too. Walking carefully, shamelessly and unsubtly looking all around at the inside of a Peak Lord's house. Zhang Qinghua's house is a little untidy, but it's still nice. Not as ostentatious as it could be, focused more on comfort than anything else, but way nicer than the living accommodations of a mere disciple. At the very least, way more lived in than Xin Yuan's place. Let's start with that artifact from the mission, Zhang Qinghua decides, leading his fellow transmigrator to his home office. Let's get this shit over with. Bro, did you know I have a secret basement? Was that in Proud Immortal Demon Way? Because I did not know that I had a secret basement until yesterday.
What? What are you talking about?
Xun Yuan is intrigued by the secret lock behind the flower, in the seal that opens the secret door, and the ladder down into the secret basement. His face lights up with the intrigue of it all. Well, at least one of them is having fun with this kind of thing. Xiangqing Hua would probably think that this kind of thing was super cool too if it wasn't under his own damn house. He explains to the other transmigrator how the system directed him to the secret basement that he's pretty sure was added with the world update. He casually explains how the systems bribed him with points and assurances to peek through the magical mirror, which showed him the future according to proud immortal demon Wei. He doesn't go into any more detail than that it was kind of terrifying. Xun Yuan looks at him like he's an idiot when he says to stay the fuck away from the creepy mirror, as though the kid thinks he's too good to make that kind of stupid decision. I suppose it's not so bad having a basement full of future-telling junk, Xiangqing Hua admits, rubbing his chin. It's something to point to when people figure out that I know too much. Who needs to sleep at night anyway? Does any of this stuff work? Xun Yuan asks. Besides the mirror. I don't know, Xiangqing Hua admits, rubbing his chin. I haven't checked. It might be a good idea to check. Ah, true, true. Too bad that I really don't want to check. Xun Yuan doesn't look too impressed by that, but apparently he's not daring enough to start poking any of the creepy, hopefully broken, fortune-telling devices by himself. The kid's eyes eventually land, naturally, on the soft yellow glow atop the pedestal. Do I get to know what we all nearly died for now? Xun Yuan demands. Ah, right. Well, according to the system, that thing is called the Weeper's Eye. Maybe some backstory first? Did I remember to tell you about that other mission? Tell me again. Xiangqing Hua quickly summarizes traveling through an abyss with Liu Qingge to steal a life-saving plant from the exiled founder of Huanhua Palace sect. The guy was an asshole, he explains next. I stole from his garden when he wasn't looking. We left. He sent some killer plant beasts after us. Liu Qingge chopped them up, and then we walked home again. Well, this monstrous blob thing tried to steal our prize almost as soon as we saw the sky again, but it picked the wrong pocket to get everything. So then we flew off to deliver the goods to Mu Qingfang before it could realize it missed out. Was that the creature again at the end? I didn't get a good look at any surprise monsters this time or last time. Sorry, bro. That's something I'll have to ask Liu Qingge sometime later. I really hope not. Xiangqing Hua laughs, then goes on to explain where he understands the Weeper fits into all of this, while his fellow transmigrator nods because he was there for that part. Then Xiangqing Hua has to admit the Weeper's eye has been talking to him. It's been talking to you? Xun Yuan repeats, alarmed. Hey, I said talking at me. There's a difference. I didn't talk back unless it was begging the thing to shut the fuck up. You really didn't hear any of what it was saying? It never sounded like it was talking to you? Xiangqing Hua will be fucking elated to get confirmation that no one could hear any of that, and weren't just being weirdly polite about the little voice reciting their personal feelings back to them.
No, Xun Yuan says, very surely. What's it been saying?
Xiangqing Hua laughs again, even more nervously.
It expresses uncomfortable observations of the people around me, he finally suggests. It's some kind of truth-seeing device.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. So far, it's been kind of useless and annoying.
Xiangqing Hua can almost see his fellow transmigrator struggling with a question that probably goes a little something like,
but what did it say about me?
Relatable, understandable, also very uncomfortable for Xiangqing Hua to answer.
He sighs.
bro. All it really said about you was that you're finding your transmigration experience more stressful than you let on. He promises. Nothing I didn't already know from having been where you are now. Shen Yuan doesn't look placated, but Shang Qinghua wasn't really expecting this overly suspicious kid to be. Though, to be fair, can it really be called paranoia when the world might really be out to get you? His fellow transmigrator wanders over to the pedestal to get a better look at the Weeper's eye and its little bowl.
Did it just talk when you touched it?
Unprompted when I was holding it, Shang Qinghua answers. After an awkward stretch of silence, he forcibly swallows his own discomfort and says, Bro, if you're really curious, you can just pick it up yourself and see what it whispers in your head about me. It doesn't bite. Well, it hasn't bitten me yet, so far. What do I really have to hide besides everything? He thinks. He's got some regrets, sure, and some things in his past of which he's ashamed in hindsight. He's got plenty of things in his life and his last life that he doesn't want blurted out for this kid. But he's really, really, really curious to see what it'll say to his fellow transmigrator, if anything. And the kid is clearly itching to touch the creepy special item. What room does Peerless Cucumber have to call him out on anything here? Shen Yuan picks up the Weeper's eye, holding it gingerly, with the tips of his fingers. Shang Qinghua really can't hear a damn thing. At best, he thinks the creepy glow might be very gently throbbing, but he might just be imagining that effect. He probably came up with this thing, so everything even mildly annoying here is kind of all on him. The clearest indication he gets that that three-eyed weeping skeleton's magical eye might be saying something is when Shen Yuan turns his head to give him an uncertain, searching look out of the corner of his eye. Anything interesting? Shang Qinghua prompts. Shen Yuan puts the Weeper's eye back in its bowl on the pedestal. It said, This man blames himself for the state of the world. He would remake it all if he could. If this thing is to be believed, you have better taste in writing now, he says. Congratulations. Thanks. Don't be so quick to judge a man's taste in life and literature by what he writes for food money, though, Shang Qinghua answers, at once kind of unnerved and kind of relieved. It was mostly stuff like that, yeah. Not too useful. If Peerless Cucumber's relay of the message is to be believed, then that special item could have said something way worse about him. His fellow transmigrator probably figured out that much for himself already. If Shang Qinghua didn't tell the kid as much directly, Shang Qinghua is pretty sure that barely counts as a secret. Any idea how this is supposed to help with that the lines that cannot be crossed mission of yours? Shang Qinghua prompts. How to make it cough up a real hint? Shen Yuan starts to shrug before his eyes flicker off to the side. Shang Qinghua would probably assume the kid had been distracted by a new thought if he didn't know the equal likelihood of a system pop-up window. That's kind of weird to see. He wishes he could see his fellow transmigrators' system windows again, but he thinks that his own shitty no-good system might throw a fit first. It's in passive mode, Shen Yuan announces. What? New item, the Weeper's Eye, Shen Yuan says, like he's reading off a screen. Then he lifts both his hands, cupped to create the round brackets that Shang Qinghua can't see. Passive mode. It's in some kind of passive mode. That's its passive mode? Shang Qinghua repeats, horrified. Shen Yuan gives him a narrowed look. Hey, it's uncomfortable enough having something whispering unsolicited shit in your head, no matter what it's saying, Shang Qinghua points out. He looks back towards the pedestal. I suppose we're supposed to activate it somehow.
How?
Spiritual energy, probably. Is your system saying anything else?
Shen Yuan looks off to the side, searching.
No.
My shitty system is probably strangling it right now.
Zhang Qinghua needs to think about this. He'd much rather think about how he doesn't want to think about this at all. He has other problems. He has a demon invasion to figure out how to break to his scary senior martial brothers. He has to go make sure that his Shixiangs haven't fucked up each other's health again.
Are you going to try to activate it now? Shen Yuan asks.
No, not right now, Zhang Qinghua decides, standing up off the dusty stool he was sitting on. Cucumber bro, I'm just not awake enough for tackling anything serious right now. Let me get a few texts and tools together first to test this thing properly, all right? Some safety equipment, aprons and face shields, thick fireproof gloves. I'm still trying to figure out how to safely ask Duan Tianyu what he knows about this map the system apparently made him send me, when he might not even know what the fuck I'm talking about. Maybe he can give us some hints.
Who?
One of my Huanhua not disciples, Zhang Qinghua answers. I picked up some extras a few deadly missions back. They're good kids, all grown now, less naive than they used to be. Duan Tianyu is teaching back at Huanhua Palace now, so maybe I'll have to be the one to wander over there on some pretense.
Shen Yuan agrees that getting as much information as possible is probably the better course of action. Zhang Qinghua ushers the kid out of his secret basement, and his fellow transmigrator goes easily enough. Zhang Qinghua complains about his shitty, no-good system on the way up, for forcing them to do all the work by themselves.
It must think everything is more authentic if I don't know what the fuck is going on, Zhang Qinghua suggests, removing his spiritual seal and causing the door to the secret basement to vanish.
I'll admit that's kind of cool to watch.
I think we're supposed to find something with the eye, Shen Yuan announces.
Zhang Qinghua considers this.
Yeah, that would make sense.
My lost memories? Shen Yuan suggests.
That's a good idea, Zhang Qinghua agrees. Really, who the fuck knows what that creepy thing will do next?
Hey, bro. Why don't you try to see if you can remember anything about this eye or that skeleton or Huanhua's first master from Proud Immortal Demon Wei? Maybe that will help give us an idea of what we're working with.
It's your web novel.
I wrote it more than a few decades ago. I'll try to remember too, but I've got a lot going on already. I have to go lie to the sect leader about stuff. If Shen Qingqiu didn't kill him.
Right. We should set up that meeting with Shen Qingqiu's disciples soon. Zhang Qinghua leaves his home office, compiling his latest to-do list of urgent bullshit.
Are you still interested in doing that? It might give us another lead here.
It's a good idea, Shen Yuan echoes, still sounding unenthusiastic about it.
Pretend it's a spy mission, Zhang Qinghua suggests. As one of Proud Immortal Demon Wei's foremost spies, he can attest that leaning into the coolness of the situation sometimes helps to take off the edge of terror. Sometimes.
I'm not talking to Shen Qingqiu.
Ha, bro, you don't have to talk to Shen Qingqiu. I'll talk to him. I'll send him a message and see if he can send that Fu Qiang woman over here alone. I'll do that while I'm setting up an appointment with Yue Qingyuan.
I should make sure that Lin Wen Zhao hasn't let all the junior disciples procrastinate to teach them a crashing and burning lesson. Back to work, it never stops.
You have something on your neck.
What?
Zhang Qinghua turns around. His fellow transmigrator is squinting, then wearing an awkward expression that he can't place. Shen Yuan finally lifts his hand and taps at his own neck, at a spot just below and behind one of his ears.
You have something on your neck. Is that a bruise? How? It's not from the Shadow Cave wolf spiders or that plant, is it?
Oh, shit.
Zhang Qinghua prods at the spot, indicated and ends up using the nearest reflective surface, his own sword,
to examine the hickey there. A big one. He was genuinely panicked for a moment there, but he remembers how he got that one. He's, getting a flash of heat from the memory of a cool mouth, actually. Uh-huh, that's just a bug bite, Shang Ching Hua says. It's fine. A bug bite, Xin Yuan repeats skeptically. I've got something for it. It's fine. Just let me cover, treat this, and we'll go. The other transmigrator looks unconvinced by Shang Ching Hua's story. Admittedly, it's far from the best lie Shang Ching Hua has ever told. Bug bite? Who would believe that shit? He wouldn't believe that chitty cover story either. Still, Shang Ching Hua clings to this shitty cover story with everything he's got, hoping that sheer stubbornness and apparent obliviousness to any other explanation will save his ass here.
There are lots of dangerous insects in Proud Immortal Demon Way, Peerless Cucumber notes coolly, as Shang Ching Hua goes through damage control. Maybe you should see Mu Qingfang. Drowsiness could be a very serious symptom.
Drowsiness?
You spent so long in bed, the other transmigrator points out.
Good point. Luckily, I know exactly what kind of creature it was, and it's not dangerous.
Shang Ching Hua laughs.
Come on, bro, back to work. It waits for no man. I saw Mu Qingfang just yesterday, and he'll kill me if he sees me again so soon.
Shang Ching Hua takes his overly suspicious and too sharp-eyed for a part blind fellow transmigrator back to the Anding Peak teachers, telling the kid off again for not keeping him in the loop about his vision problems. After leaving Xin Yuan there, Shang Ching Hua heads back to the main office. He gets stopped what feels like every 3 steps to hear about how the latest delivery of medicine from a minor sect got attacked by demon birds. Somehow, someone counted their remaining supply of wagon wheels wrong last month and has set back some shipments now. And how someone used experimental fertilizer on one of the Chun Chao Peak cave gardens and the resulting overgrowth destroyed several nearby buildings.
Oh, welcome back, Lord Shang, one of the cultivators remembers to say, after Shang Ching Hua sends her off to get a specific Longsheng Peak cultivator on the scene and borrow some Baichan Peak cultivators from Liu Qingga to help clean that up.
Thanks, Shang Ching Hua says, oddly touched.
The day in, day out of Changchong Mountain Sect can't get him down today. He feels kind of like he's walking on air. Sure, the work never stops, and there are some fucking terrifying things ahead, but he just had a very successful mission overall. He just had a really, really successful conversation with Mo Beijun. He and Mo Beijun are romantically entwined, and Mo Beijun was very explicit about the fact that he expects them to be romantically entwined pretty much indefinitely.
There is no one else, Mo Beijun had said. There will be no one else.
Shang Ching Hua fostered a lot of hopes over the years, more hopes than he felt that he should have reasonably fostered. And to have those hopes unexpectedly fulfilled like this is really something. It's really, really something. Mo Beijun isn't the type of character to say that, to say any of the things he said. And wow, he said a lot of things back there, without meaning it completely. Shang Ching Hua doesn't really know what to do with that. Forever is a long time. He understands, of course, that some things really do last an impossibly long time. He used to be pretty certain that all love matches faded eventually, that people were genuinely wildly in love, that people were sincerely in love with each other, sure, up until they inevitably weren't anymore. But now, he can't really imagine Liu Qingga or Luo Jiahui ever getting tired of each other. Liu Qingga keeps bringing Luo Jiahui new recipes to try and rare ingredients to interest her so she can make dishes for the two of them or her family as a whole. And Shang Cheng Hua can easily imagine the two of them doing that pretty much indefinitely. Shang Cheng Hua can't think about this for long before he has to focus on greeting his disciples. It's just Peng Heng Peng and Chen Xuan in here at the moment, and getting to work. Good things last while they last, he decides for now, because thinking about things not lasting kind of makes him feel like he's dying.
Greetings, Shifu,
Peng Heng Peng says dutifully.
Congratulations on not dying again, Shifu,
Chen Xuan calls out.
Thank you, it's a talent,
Shang Cheng Hua says, waving his achievements aside.
Before you pile the backed up paperwork on me, I need to write to Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu and arrange some meetings with them. They're still alive, right? Anyone hear any ghastly rumors of untimely deaths?
I can make some, Chen Xuan says, or get Wen Jiao to make some.
They're still alive, Shifu, Peng Heng Peng says reassuringly. Are they not supposed to be?
He asks next, like he's vaguely concerned he was supposed to make that happen in Shang Cheng Hua's absence.
Yes, kind of, but also no,
Shang Cheng Hua thinks.
No, I need them alive for Immortal Alliance conferences and things,
Shang Cheng Hua says aloud, settling at his desk.
And no rumors, by the way. If we lost them, Wan Jian Peak would be in charge of everything, and we'd be stuck doing the work of four peaks without getting any of the credit.
Oh, how different that would be, Chen Xuan cries. Oh, so different.
Haha, yes. So let's do our best to avoid that.
After getting all of the urgent paperwork done, as opposed to the not urgent paperwork and the not even a little bit urgent, whoever labeled this as urgent should get hit over the head with that urgent paperwork, Shang Cheng Hua forcibly excuses himself into the late afternoon to sneak down to Sanjiao Town. He doesn't need to see Luo Jiahui immediately. He could keep cleaning things up on Anding Peak and then see her sometime tomorrow. She knows that he's an unwillingly busy man, and that Changchong Mountain Sect would probably fall apart without him, just to spite him for leaving. And she forgives him again and again for not always visiting her at the first available moment. But, he misses her. Shang Cheng Hua, dressed as though he's no one more important than Uncle Huo Hua, is welcomed into the back of his sister-in-law's restaurant. Luo Jiahui's friend Yan Tingting and kitchen partner One-Handed Uncle Han give him friendly and casual greetings. The serving girl, the daughter of one of Luo Jiahui's other friends, scurries automatically around him with an absent-minded, "Hi, Uncle!" He's pretty sure that they all suspect that he's a Changchong Mountain Sect cultivator, but he's pretty sure that Luo Jiahui has used her most disapproving faces to keep them from mentioning it to him. Luo Jiahui steps back into the kitchen, and her face lights up at the sight of him. She puts aside the dishes she's holding to give him a hug like she's trying to pull him inside her chest. It's totally clear where his nephew got his excellent hugging skills.
Huaga, what are you doing here?
I have a meeting later, maybe, and I have some free time now, Shang Cheng Hua says. Actually, I'm ditching all of my responsibilities and running away. But don't tell anyone, or they'll send someone to drag me back by force.
Luo Jiahui pats him on the chest, beaming. I could use some extra hands around the kitchen sometimes. Not today, though. It's a little slow right now.
Auntie Ting Ting and Uncle Han wave Luo Jiahui off, promising to call if they need her, so she and Shang Cheng Hua can sit together. Luo Jiahui tells him about how Granny's son was here earlier for tea and how she's training up some of Mu Qingfang's disciples, with his permission, at the local Qianqiao Peak Clinic. She also tells him about Liu Qingge and Luo Fanli's visit yesterday, which apparently went well enough for Luo Fanli to tentatively agree to bring her friends around for a meal sometime.
I wish Bing He was able to do the same thing, Luo Jiahui says wistfully.
I heard from Disciple 2 at the clinic that the Qingjing Peak group made it back to the sect.
Oh, Jiame has spies now?
I'm just making polite conversation, Luo Jiahui insists stubbornly.
Ha ha, that's what someone spying on Changchong Mountain sect would say.
Zhang Qinghua would know about that, being one and having several disciple spies himself. I saw Bingha yesterday, and we had a nice long talk about his mission before I returned him to his little friends on Qingjing. He had a scary moment that he might like to talk about with you and Qingge when he can visit, and without Fun Li, maybe. But he's fine.
What happened?
He made a mistake with good intentions and got a small injury for it, Zhang Qinghua says, as reassuringly as he can. He's fine. He's in trouble with his Qizhen for it, though. But I'll see what I can do about bringing you up to meet him or bringing him down here as soon as possible. I'll do my best to make it happen. Luo Jiahui leans into Zhang Qinghua's side and admits,
I miss him.
He misses you.
I miss you too, Luo Jiahui adds.
Sorry. It's okay, his sister-in-law says warmly. I'd miss you even if you visited every day. Zhang Qinghua is holding her hands, but it feels like she's got an extra one wrapped around his heart. Where's that husband of yours? Doesn't he come down the mountain every day? Should I be telling him off? Sorry I ran off with him for a little bit.
What does Qingge have to do with you and me?
Luo Jiahui demands. It doesn't matter how often I see everyone else. I still miss you and Bingha the most.
That's a point. That's a point.
What else can Zhang Qinghua do but admit that he misses her the most, too? They chat like that for a bit, with Zhang Qinghua describing some of the breathtaking landscapes they passed on their mission, while Luo Jiahui talks about Liu Qingge raising the possibility of taking a journey with his parents and sister. Unsurprisingly, Luo Jiahui isn't too keen on travel. She has bad experiences with vacations, too. She likes staying close to home. But she wants to be keen on the things that Liu Qingge likes, and to let him share them with her. She says that she likes the idea of going someplace lovely with all the people she loves, so she's working up the courage.
Maybe if Hua Ge can make sure things look okay first, she suggests.
I can do that. Yeah, I can do that.
Qingge said that you and Fun Li could come too, but I wouldn't want Bingha to feel left out,
Luo Jiahui worries.
Maybe when Bingha is allowed to travel more, we could all go somewhere together, as a family.
Maybe.
Remind him to write me about his troubles.
Of course. He's feeling a little ashamed right now, but I'll try to get him to you as soon as possible, Zhang Qinghua confides. I'll extract him somehow from the clutches of his concerned friends for you. He could use a hug from his mother.
You'll have to give him lots from me until then.
Eventually, Luo Jiahui must give up on pretending that she doesn't know Zhang Qinghua is hiding things from her. Zhang Qinghua can't bring himself to tell her about the secret basement or the Weeper's Eye or that encounter with Bingha, at least not yet. Who knows? Maybe he's allowed to tell her more of these things now. The system can't give him an explanation for why he knows things and then not let him tell his poor sister-in-law, who has been very patiently letting Zhang Qinghua not answer lots of questions she politely pretends she doesn't have. But there are other things he can tell her.
Did Hua Ge come down the mountain to tell me anything else?
She says quietly. She's so good at asking open questions that end up stabbing him directly. Zhang Qinghua looks in the direction of the kitchen, but unfortunately no one is eavesdropping on them. Oh no, he has no real excuse to tell Luo Jiahui the thing he's kind of bursting at the seams to tell her.
I had a visit yesterday from my friend, Zhang Qinghua admits.
Oh, finally?
Shang Qinghua winces. Ah, right. He remembers offhandedly mentioning to his sister-in-law that he was anxious to hear from his friend after she'd pushed him to share what was bothering him, before moving on to another subject. Luo Jiahui apparently remembered that. Why wouldn't she remember that? She always listens very keenly to news about the demon lord who will be taking in her son.
Yes, it turns out that everything was fine,
Shang Qinghua promises quickly. Everything is more than fine. We talked about some of the misunderstandings we'd had over the years with, our different upbringings. It was a good talk.
That's good. And we did more than talk.
Luo Jiahui doesn't say anything. Instead, just staring expectantly, piercingly.
I think he's in love with me,
Shang Qinghua says weakly. Saying it out loud makes the whole thing sound so much more real. The quiet statement hangs in the air in front of Shang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui, who sit there in silence for several seconds, dealing with an incredible statement like that. Mo Beijun didn't say those words specifically, but he said all sorts of words that make the shape of those words, so Shang Qinghua can't draw any other conclusion. Trust, regard, respect, loyalty, understanding, desire, satisfaction, happiness. If Mo Beijun had outright said, I love you and nothing else, Shang Qinghua probably wouldn't have believed it. He doesn't know if he would have trusted where those words were coming from at all. He probably would have assumed the demon lord was under some kind of proud immortal demon way curse or poison or something. Those sorts of words aren't really in Mo Beijun's character.
Are you in love with him?
Luo Jiahui asks finally. Shang Qinghua looks at her helplessly. The words, I don't know, are on the tip of his tongue, automatically. But once they're there, they don't feel true enough to say. His history with Mo Beijun is more than a little complicated, spanning across an entire lifetime no one else knows about. His sister-in-law is pretty good at getting to the point of things when she wants to. That's really what it's all about here, isn't it? Except for where it's also about the plot and the system and the survival of his family and his nephew's future as a tyrant, which Mo Beijun says he doesn't have to fear anymore, which is a nice sentiment, if kind of totally untrue.
I think so, Shang Qinghua says finally. His voice is a little hoarse. That's probably the reason the words hurt a little to say.
Luo Jiahui doesn't seem to know what to make of this development.
I thought you were scared of him, she says.
I used to be, Shang Qinghua says. But that feels like a lie, too. He's still scared, but in different ways.
I didn't understand him. I still don't really understand him. He's just in a really good position to do a lot of damage to my life, which is scary. I don't think he will. No, I don't think he would do something like that. Not anymore.
Luo Jiahui doesn't look enthusiastic about this. And this is without Shang Qinghua telling her about what an asshole Mo Beijun used to be. Shang Qinghua doesn't think that you should give your son, who is the light of your life, over to this snarling, opaque asshole who used to hit me sometimes, would go over well with his sister-in-law. A reasonable reaction, but unfortunately incompatible with the plot. It's hard to explain just how complicated his relationship with Mo Beijun is, and how much his relationship with Mo Beijun has changed.
We misunderstood each other a lot, Shang Qinghua tries to explain. Things are different where he comes from,
Luo Jiahui says reluctantly.
Yeah, I made a lot of assumptions. So did he. But we've worked it out now, and I probably should have figured it out a lot sooner. I had a way I thought things should be, and ignored the way things really were between us. Hindsight really is something else. I'm happy for you, Luo Jiahui insists finally, squeezing his hand. If you're happy, then I'm happy for you, Huo Hua. Are you happy?
Xiangqing Hua clears his throat.
I am, he says, and it's not a lie. It feels kind of like free-falling. It kind of makes him want to run away, but it doesn't feel like a lie.
Then I'm happy, Luo Jiahui repeats. Xiangqing Hua squeezes her hand in return, in thanks.
I'd like to meet him properly, Luo Jiahui says next, determined. I've been thinking about this for a long time. I think that I should meet him if he's going to be looking after two of my most important people. Huage can take some time to arrange the meeting, but a meeting should happen if he's going to be part of our family.
She says it kind of like she's forbidding Xiangqing Hua from marrying out, as though, as far as she's concerned, if that kind of thing is happening, then the Demon Lord will be marrying in, and she's not having it any other way.
Xiangqing Hua doesn't really know what to do with the mental image of Mo Beijun sitting at Luo Jiahui's dinner table. He thinks Liu Qingge would probably have an opinion on that. He should probably figure out what his shitty no-good system stance is right now on him being allowed to tell his nephew about his demon heritage, because he's never been able to figure out telling Liu Qingge without also telling Luo Binghe. They don't have very long now until Binghe knows.
I'll arrange a meeting, Xiangqing Hua promises. I'm, meeting him again tonight.
So you'll talk to him about it tonight.
I will. I'll talk to him.
Among other things, Luo Jiahui says.
Xiangqing Hua cuts off, a little bit scandalized, in a delightful kind of way. His sister-in-law is looking a little pink and not meeting his eyes anymore.
Ah, Jiahui, is this what you and Ting Ting and Han talk about in your restaurant kitchen? Does your husband know about this? Maybe I should come down more and join in.
Luo Jiahui bumps against his shoulder in a scolding kind of way.
I'm only teasing, she says. Maybe now my brother-in-law will get an overdue taste of his own joking.
Oh no, I didn't think about that.
Too late.
Xiangqing Hua, of course, makes his sister-in-law promise not to tell anyone just yet, and he promises her again that he'll arrange a meeting between her and Mo Beijun as soon as possible. He thinks that Mo Beijun will be open to the idea. The idea is still more than a little terrifying, but now that Xiangqing Hua is thinking about it, he doesn't really have the same good reasons for finding it terrifying. The most likely worst result he can think of right now is Luo Jiahui not liking the Demon Lord. Eventually, Xiangqing Hua excuses himself, citing the need to return to the sect.
Jiahui, your poor workers will probably commit mutiny if you leave them any longer, he says,
even though it really is a slow evening at the restaurant tonight. Luo Jiahui indulges his excuses and hugs him farewell, telling him to pass it on to her son. Xiangqing Hua still has to fight off some work when he gets back to Anding Peak, but he ends up deflecting most of it and taking only a little bit of it back to his leisure house. His disciples really are growing up well. He's glad that he failed to kick them off all those years ago now, because he doesn't know what he'd do if he couldn't shove off work onto them. To shove off onto someone else. The various managers and movers of Anding Peak are in pretty good shape these days, if he does say so himself, though he doesn't think he'll ever be able to do anything about the inevitable accidents, natural disasters, and temper tantrums that still plague him regularly. He has answers from Yue Qingyuan and Qin Qingchu, and sends out confirmations to both of them. While sorting through his remaining paperwork, he plots various ways to convince Qin Qingchu to give up his thoroughly and understandably grounded nephew.
He also bugs his shitty no-good system on what he's allowed to tell Bingha about the future, trying to corner it into a straight answer and even threatening to go find Peerless Cucumber to bother his system for answers. As he's told himself often over his decades of being a transmigrator, he may be stuck with his system, yes, and it may be one of the meanest and most unhelpful beings he's ever been forced to share the experience of life with. But that also means that his system is stuck with him. It's trapped in his head, too. It can suffer for it, too. While he's busy plotting around the plot, there's a hum of power behind him, the cool whoosh and crackle of a portal opening, the faint, hair-raising warning of demonic energy. Shang Qinghua finishes tapping at his own face in thought, looks up at the looming shadow standing behind him, and smiles. He feels kind of like he should run away, but it's too late for that now. He held on long enough that he made it too late for himself. "Hello," he says. Mo Beijun looks down at him with an expression that would probably look cold to anyone else, but that Shang Qinghua can't mistake anymore for anything but fond. Shang Qinghua puts his papers aside and stands, prepared to make his usual bow for tradition's sake, if nothing else, only for Mo Beijun to catch him before he can.